Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are back at WWL Studios. We were at the Sanger this morning with Dave Cohen. What an event, the inaugural ceremony of Mayor Helena Moreno and the new council that was seated. Some old members and some new members, so it's a new council nonetheless. It was a really, really nice ceremony. A lot to talk about. And we are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, who has seen a countless number of inaugural ceremonies in his career. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Noel. Happy to be back.
So, Ron, if you would, from a political perspective, craft what this means for our listening audience when you have this inauguration day, the excitement and anticipation building up towards it, and then the day's there, and then what?
Well, it means change in this particular case. I think Mayor Moreno's administration is going to be very different than Mayor Cantrell's administration was. And I think the style is going to be different. The substance of what they're doing will be different. And the foundation, I think, has already been laid for that. I think it was important that in her inaugural address, she made the point that we need a functional city, a city that works, a city government that works. And we hadn't heard an awful lot about that for some time. We need to fix what's broken. We need to have the will to make these changes. And she said, and used a phrase which I thought was very important, and that was success measured by outcomes. You know, you just don't say you're going to do something and make something better, and then you never hear of it again. And the idea of using metrics to measure your success, to go to the people of the city and be honest and say, well, we did well here, we didn't do as well as we wanted to, is the kind of administration I think the city wants right now, and it's certainly what she has promised.
In all of the past to present administration transitions that you've seen, where would you put this in the context of coming out of a very troubled administration to a new and kind of fresh start administration?
Well, I think whether an administration is troubled or not, people generally want change after 8 years. And I think we've seen that you know, from the days of Vic Sciro to the days of you know, more modern days with the, you know, Mayor Cantrell and Mayor Moreno and many times in the middle. But I do think it represents significant change. If you go way back in history, when Shep Morrison was elected mayor in 1946, now, right after World War II, there was a big change that was brought about the city government. When Moon Landrieu was elected in the late 1960s, early 1970s, there was also that sense of big change. And when Dutch Morial was elected, I think there was a sense of big change. So you've had this before, and I think, you know, we're a city that has seen a lot of things, and this is something that that we're seeing once again. And finally, I would say when Mitch Landrieu took over after Ray Nagin was mayor, the city's budget was out of balance. They had to find a lot of money to keep things going, and that's not a whole lot different than what we're seeing today.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, you know, when that occurred. I mean, there are some similarities here because I think you would agree that from a functional perspective, there are a lot of the internal machinations of city government that is begging for change. It needs to change. It needs to become more efficient. The approach has to be different. A lot of these decisions are very tough decisions. You've heard me say this before. I find that good, effective political leaders do not fear consuming political capital, because if you don't do it, you're not going to make transformational change. And I think a lot of our folks were good leaders in many respects, but they didn't bring about transformational change because they truly feared consuming political capital.
I think you're exactly right about that. And, you know, that's happening more and more, I think, around government today, that we have a lot of public officials who are just afraid. They're afraid of the politics. They're afraid of all these things that could damage their careers. And out of that fear, it just sort of paralyzes them into doing the kinds of big things that oftentimes is needed. And I think that's something on the side of the times.
Yeah, you know, and then I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you've seen a lot of leaders, some who are willing to get down to the granular level to increase the likelihood of success, no matter what the endeavor that they are going to embark upon, and those that kind of do it for the sound bites, right? And we announce certain things that are going to happen, and people wait around, and what's going on with that project that they announced 2 years ago? Well, nothing. They wanted a soundbite.
Right. Well, a while back, I guess it was 6 months ago or maybe longer, maybe closer to a year, I wrote a column, and the theme of it was management needed to be the main issue in the mayor's election. You know, oftentimes we talk about loftier goals and more exciting things, but I think we reached a point now where we just need good management, you know, to run the basics of the city, to make sure public safety and streets and drainage and handing out permits and doing all the basics are done right. And management isn't a sexy topic. It's not something that's gonna get people all excited. But in this particular case, I think it was the big issue of the campaign. It certainly should have been, I think, in terms of what the candidates were doing. And now they have to deliver on it. And I have to hand it to Mayor Moreno that she understood that. She understood that the management of city government needed to be not just tweaked a little bit, but radically changed to make the improvements the city needs. You know, we have a city that has lost tremendous population over the years, a city that has significant poverty, a city that that has a lot of unmet needs, and there's just a lot that needs to be done there. And you know, the normal thing that politicians generally do is when things need to happen, they go raise taxes to pay for them, and that doesn't work, you know, anymore, because people talk about the affordability of living in a place. Like, taxes aren't included in affordability. Of course they are. And and the more affordable a city is going to be, that means it has to have reasonable tax rates. And you can't just keep raising taxes every time you get in the jam. And again, I have to commend Mayor Moreno for not rushing to, you know, to the old saw of, well, we're going to just have to raise taxes. And we need more money, so we're going to raise taxes. And instead of doing what I think they're going to be doing, and that is to figure out what are our priorities? How can we fix what's broken? And then we take a look at city finances, and then we do everything in a transparent, rational way. We see that in city government. We see it in the surging water board. And all of these things have great revenue needs. But at the same time, they have management systems that the public doesn't have confidence in.
Yeah, you know, you touched on a couple of things, and I find a lot of folks fall prey to this as well, and it's a little bit of what you outlined. You have a series of outcomes, right, that from the previous administration or early onset in your administration. Some may go right, some may go not so right, but we don't really spend a lot of time asking the question, why the outcome? And we jump to solutions. And as you just pointed out, unfortunately, one solution that rises to the forefront more so than any other is, let's collect more taxes. We need more revenue.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
But if you have a delivery system and the internal machinations of the operations of government, and whether it's procurement, this, that, or anything else, that's faulty, that doesn't work well, is not set up appropriately, does not have the internal controls, you can give them all the money in the world and it's not going to make an appreciable difference, because they're
Absolutely.
Not going to be able to deliver on it.
Absolutely. And that's the problem with government today all over the nation. And I find it particularly surprising that Democrats, who the Democratic Party is supposed to be the party of government, a party of activist government, don't feel like it's necessary to make government run better. If government ran better, they would have an opportunity to get more money and more support for government action, but they don't do it. And the criticism applies the same to Republicans. They talk about, oh, government's too big, it spends too much, deficits are too high. And then they get in office and the deficits don't go down. They spend more than ever. And other than some rhetoric, they're not really fixing government, cleaning it out, giving it the kind of spring cleaning that's needed. And I think at this point in the city of New Orleans, the city government really needs not only a spring cleaning to make things work and to have the kind of systems and procedures in place, but in some cases, structural change that may affect the surging water board, that may affect the civil service system, that may affect the whole budget process. And so big things, big changes need to be looked at. And if you look at successful mayors and governors around the country, but we'll limit it to mayors since that's what we're talking about today, oftentimes, they take office at difficult times, and the mayor has to make difficult decisions. That's not always popular, and, you know, to get from where you are to where you need to be. And I think that's where the Moreno administration is right now.
getting back to what you talked about with both Democrats and Republicans, I guess more emblematic of that scenario than any is you look at social services with Democrats. Right now, we've got the situation going on in Minnesota, Minneapolis. For the Republicans, who have a desire to spend more money in military spending, we have one of the most screwed up procurement systems in military spending when we're spending $280 for one singular screw that you can get that meets the specifications at the local Ace Hardware for, 40 cents. you see this repeated over and over and over again, administration over and over again, and there's never any improvement.
That's right. And it always annoys me that new administrations come in, and I'm not talking about federal, state, and local, and they don't really focus and concentrate on that. What's really needed in city government right now, state government, federal government, is to bring people from outside of government, from the private sector, people who have run businesses, people who have run public agencies, and to come in and take a look at every agency and say, what do we need to make this agency work better? And if the agency isn't needed anymore, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And, there are some government programs and agencies that actually need more money to accomplish what we need them to accomplish. And there are some that don't need to exist at all. And so if you just say, well, every department gets a 4% cut or every department gets a 4% increase, that's the worst possible budgeting you can have. And one of the things I've always thought was needed, I supported it when I was in the legislature way back when, and state and local governments around the country did, is the idea of zero-based budgeting. To bring an agency head in and say, don't just justify the 2 or 3% budget increase you want, or don't just oppose the 2 or 3% budget cut you want, justify the whole thing. Do we need this? And when you look at legislatures and city councils, most of them spend almost all their time, if not all their time, on trying to do new things, new programs, new spending, new laws, new regulations. And they rarely spend much time going back and saying, that program we passed some years ago, is it working or is it not working? The city government, for example, asked the voters of the city, and the voters gave them a significant property tax increase to be used for the early childhood child care and child education programs of the city of New Orleans. Many people thought that was a good idea, but it's been operating now for, several years. And I believe over $60 million of public money has gone into it, tax dollars that were raised. Well, do we know if that's working or not? And was that a good idea? Was it not a good idea? And I think we should be open-minded and tough and serious about all these things. Just because a program, and I'm not just beating on this one program, but it could be anything, has a nice sounding name, doesn't mean we need to fund it or keep it. And those are the kind of tough things that this new mayor has to do, and every mayor and governor and president need to do.
Yeah, no doubt. We got to get to a break. We are visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, 504-260-1870. On the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we'll continue this conversation when we return with Ron Fauché. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
We were broadcasting live from the inauguration this morning, Dave Cohen and myself. It was a beautiful inaugural ceremony, and we've been talking to Ron Fauché about more from the political perspective and the operational perspective of government and what this means in the transition and how you go about tackling certain challenges. He's a political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics and has had his finger on the pulse of these types of events for a long, long time. Ron, two other questions I wanted to talk to you about. Just recently, when Governor Jeff Landry was elected, he complained about how the state is really almost run by boards and commissions. And he took a tack to change the law to be able to appoint the chairman's position for those boards and commissions. You've heard similar complaints about city government. And I often wonder, these boards and commissions, in large measure, there are some exceptions, but in large measure, are they really even necessary any longer? I mean, they were creations in a time where there was this inability to manage information, you know, from an enterprise perspective. But with all the technologies that we have today, I wonder why elected leaders don't just redefine, re-engineer the structure of government and rid themselves of this bureaucratic morass and burden.
Well, they need to, and that's one of the things that people talk about, but oftentimes they don't do anything about it because it takes a lot of hard work to do. You know, if you look at state boards and commissions, for example, and I've worked with a lot of them, some of them are needed. Some of the regulatory boards and commissions are needed. They have to be there. But on the other side of the coin, some of them don't need to be there. Some of them are a waste of money. Some of them need to be just rolled into the administration of a government agency or a government program in some cases. The role of the Sewerage and Water Board, for example, needs to be looked at very closely. Do we need a separate board, a separate independent board to run that operation, or should it be run as part of a city agency? There's legitimate arguments on both sides of that. But the point I think that a lot of governors and mayors end up doing, and Michael Bloomberg did this as it related to education and in public schools in New York City, was one of the big examples, but you come in as mayor or governor and you want to do all these things and then you find you can't do them. You know, one of the things I learned over the years is when you have big new innovative ideas and you go talk to people in government, the first thing they tell you is can't be done. It just can't be done, you know. And they all tell you it can't be done. Well, that's not true. It can be done. It takes hard work and effort to do it. You have to be transparent. You have to be able to explain to the public what you're doing, but it can be done. And my point is that less time needs to be spent on thinking up new programs and ways to spend money and build bureaucracies, and to look at the ways that we're already spending money and building bureaucracies and whether they're still needed or not. And that's just not a Mayor Moreno problem. It's a Governor Landry problem. It's a President Trump problem. It's a problem everybody who are running governments have to deal with. And you know, as taxes go up over time, costs go up over time, that becomes a really big issue and a really big problem.
You said something earlier, too, that kind of struck me, and I hearken back to a comment that was made by Helena Moreno, I think, the night of her election during the course of an interview. How key it is, you know, to have open lines of communication, not only with between the mayor and her executive staff, but the administration as a whole and the legislative body, obviously, the council. The night of her election, she received a call from Mayor Cantrell. She wasn't able to take the call. She was tied up with the festivities. She went back to try and talk to the mayor. But she didn't have a number for the mayor. And it turns out she hadn't talked to the mayor since 2022. And when that comment was made, I was like, well, is there any wonder why we find ourselves in the position that we find ourselves in if the mayor's not communicating with the council?
Sure. And, you know, for a mayor to be successful, they have to be able to work with the city council. And generally speaking, they need a city council that's supportive of them. And for a city council to be successful, they need to be working with the mayor, because almost all the initiatives come from the mayor. And they need to be able to determine the priorities and what's going to be spent and how things are going to be done, and let the city administration run it. So you absolutely have to have people who are working together. And when there's, you know, petty disagreements and people get in the personality contest, the ego contest, and power, you know, contest about who's going to be the king of the mountain and all of this, it's just really bad for government. And we've seen that in New Orleans city government in recent years. And look, and it's not just New Orleans. We've seen it in other places. And that's something that really needs to be addressed. And for a city government, it's not just a mayor and the city council working together. And it's the ability of the city council to be able to trust what agency heads are telling them and what they're doing. Because don't forget, it's the city council that budgets these agencies. And on top of that, you need a mayor who can work with surrounding parishes. There's a lot of problems and issues that need some regional cooperation. And it's better for everybody. It saves money for everybody. But people have to be trustworthy, and they have to work together. And, of course, working with the legislature. As a former state legislator from New Orleans, it became so clear to me right off the bat that you just need people to work together. And legislators from New Orleans have to be able to talk to legislators from other parts of the state and build a coalition of urban areas, of cities, and of suburbs, and all of it to get some good policies done. And that just takes people who can cooperate and work together. And you know, I mean, it seems to me the mayor and the city council should be, or at least individual council members, should be having lunch every week or every few weeks going over everything, and not just kind of wait until there's a problem and then everybody has to fight about it on television.
It seems to me that there is a willingness with Helena and her new administration, she does not fear bringing Republicans under her tent. You know, you're not going to agree on every issue. And I joke about this all the time. The person I love more than anyone in my life is my wife. And we probably only agree maybe half, maybe sometimes in a good week, two thirds of the issues that we talk about. You know, but you can't fear having a differing opinion, right?
Of course not. And I mean, that's what a democracy is, it recognizes that everybody has different opinions and you have to get together and work those things out and get things done. And you know, at the Washington level and now at the state level in Baton Rouge, we see partisanship just wrecking those relationships. And locally in New Orleans, it's not a partisan issue because everybody in city government's a Democrat. The city population is very heavily Democratic. Republican voter registration is only about 10% in the city. So Republicans have gotten used to picking the Democrats they want to vote for and not voting for or putting a lot of effort into Republican campaigns because they can have more leverage helping or keeping a Democrat from winning than they can by trying to run their own campaigns. So you don't have the party problems locally, but you have personality problems and ambition problems and territorial problems. And all of that has got to stop. And until it stops, we're not going to be able to run this city properly.
What is some, as you think back and new administrations coming in, whether it's governor or mayor, just looking for something, you know, that's emblematic of bad decisions being made from day one?
Well, you know, one of the things I thought, for instance, when Mayor Cantrell took office is her legacy needed to be to straighten out the surging water board, the whole drainage system in the city, whatever that may be. I'm not saying how it should have been done. It just needed to be done so that you had public confidence in it. You're never going to be able to get public support for the kinds of programs necessary to improve the drainage system until the public trusts the system. They trust the agency. And I always thought that was very important. And right off the bat, you know, she talked about it, the administration talked about it, but some changes were made. But basically, over the last 7 or 8 years, public confidence in the Surgeon Water Board has not improved. In fact, it's gotten worse over time. And that's something that was never resolved in this administration. That was something that should have been a signature accomplishment over her first year or two in office. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. At the federal level, President Trump came in with this DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. And, of course, government efficiency is a great idea. It's the kind of thing I've been talking about this whole show. But they did it wrong. You know, they didn't come in and do the hard work. They came in and they made quick hits and put out press releases. And then they found out a lot of it wasn't correct. And so all they did was sort of unsettle and stir up things without improving them. And if you do that, if you walk into a public agency and you stir it up and you're threatening people and you're saying, we're going to do this and do that, everything stops at that point. And then if you don't do it, what you've done is you've disrupted things and made things worse. So those are some examples of I think structural things that you know, some of the top leaders just didn't do the way they should have.
You cannot press release yourself to a successful outcome. That's one thing that I know for certain. But they try over and over and over again.
Absolutely. You might be able to buy a few days of good press coverage, but it doesn't solve the problem.
No, because the problems typically have multiple ways to reveal themselves that they're not been solved or remediated, right?
I mean, that's right.
But all right, we'll continue this conversation. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, when we talked about this transition and you know, a new administration coming in, we always refer to it as change, right? And typically, you hear from the incoming elected official a lot of things that are very aspirational, right? And you campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. You and I have used that saying quite a bit. But change is hard, right? I mean, you have to overcome organizational culture, internal resistance. I know you've seen this, you've experienced it. For the benefit of the audience, talk about that if you would.
Well, change is hard because, first of all, you have government employees who are used to doing certain things one way or another, not necessarily wrong, they're just used to doing it one way or another. Then you've got constituencies that work with or need those agencies for whatever it is. Then you've got some constituencies and interest groups that benefit from them. So they don't want their benefits changed. They want to keep them the way they are, whatever that may be, whether they're city contractors or people who benefit from public programs. And so, trust becomes really important. When you make these changes, you have to do them in a way that people can trust what you're doing. And that means it needs to be open and transparent. It needs to be done efficiently. And you need to explain things. One of the things I find increasingly puzzling is the more public vehicles of information there are, like through the internet and Facebook and social media and X and Instagram and 24-hour day cable TV, not to mention radio and all the other electronic mediums we have. There's a lot of vehicles to reach people, but public officials aren't explaining things well. President Trump, for example, in the case of Venezuela, he has not, whether you like what he did or not, and I'm not arguing the policy here, I'm just saying he didn't explain it well.
He didn't explain it at all.
And that's right. And
he'd be much better having Rubio talk about it than anybody else,
absolutely.
Right?
And I couldn't have said that better. Rubio explains things very well and does it in a very factual way. And yeah, if I was him, I'd let Rubio be the spokesperson for all these things. But you need public officials to explain things right. And of course, people now would just think, well, we just give them a sound bite for 30 seconds, and that's all we have to do. And that's not the case. And I hope the new mayor of New Orleans understands that it has to be, you have to go and explain it. When Franklin Roosevelt became president and the Depression was going on, and he had to make some hard decisions about the bank. It had to have a bank holiday. It actually closed banks. But he knew the public had to trust what he was doing. So he went on radio and explained how the banking system worked. And, you know, people now would say, oh, you can't go on public media and do all that. Nobody wants to hear it. Well, sometimes people have to hear it. And because he did that, he had the confidence to make these big changes. And he was a successful president. So those are the lessons we learn, I think, from that. It's very hard to get change because people are used to doing things the same way. And sometimes they're right, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the more you learn about an agency or program, you realize, well, wait a minute, these people are doing their best with what they have. But a lot of times, the whole program doesn't work. It doesn't need to be there, or it's not working the way it's supposed to. Or the people who are managing it incompetently, and they're not serving the public interest. And so, you know, when you're running government, all of that has to happen all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel good about Helena's approach. I've watched her closely over the last 2 years. And, you know, the beauty of, there are a couple of things that money can't buy, right? If you're articulate, that's a talent, you know, and it's a talent to be able to explain things in a certain way and also to do your homework, synthesize all the material that you need to synthesize and be able to articulate the positions in a language that the public can understand, because some of this stuff can tend to be very complex. I think she does a really, really good job with that. And secondly, she has the intellect to back it up. You know, and of course, her media training helped her on the, you know, being on the articulate side, the presentation side, being organized in her thought process, which I think goes a long, long way. Not everybody has that. I don't mean this as a real serious criticism, but I think LaToya was not her best attribute, right? I think this is one of the things that Helena brings to the forefront that is better than most, and I think it's gonna fare well for her. Your thoughts?
I agree, and I think it certainly fared well for her in her campaign to become mayor.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people telling her, don't do the hard stuff, do the politically easy stuff, and she has to say no to that. She has to say, look, I'm going to go to the people of the city, and when we have to do hard stuff, I'm going to explain it, and we're going to do the best we can, but we're going to get it done. And I think that's where she's headed. And I think that's what she needs to be.
I would agree. Thank you so much, as always, Ron. Totally enjoy the conversation with you always. Happy New Year to you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Check it out, folks. We will be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.